any of the show? You can get Sheeman and Shepherd all the time with Sheeman and Shepherd On Demand. Available on 99.3ESPN.com and iTunes. This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. That was Pete Shepherd's selection for Masterpiece Theater.
Overwhelming positive response off the chart.
I would have to say so, yes, on the Stony Brook Golf Club text line. Multiple thumbs up from the people of Southwest Florida on your performance there, which we do every Tuesday here on 99.3 ESPN. Coming up, we've got a lot of NFL stuff. We are still awaiting perhaps an announcement tonight from the Big Ten that they will play in the fall. We had the president of Nebraska. What was it? Ted Powers, I think his name was.
No.
Ted
Carter. Carter.
Ted Carter. Ted Carter. Watch that.
Who's Ted Powers?
I don't have no idea.
Ted Powers.
Definitely not the president of Nebraska.
Ted Powers. Yeah, there might be a...
Hold on.
Never mind.
You're going to Google Ted Powers? So anyway, he slipped in front of a mic and said, yeah, we got an announcement tonight, and we're moving forward.
A baseball player, former baseball, Ted Power was.
Yeah. All right.
Power hitter or average? The ironic.
Pitcher.
Power pitcher.
Power pitcher.
Dodgers, Reds, Royals, Tigers, 88.
Oh, that's where it came from.
Cardinals,
I know him.
Cardinals, Pirates, Reds, Indians, Mariners. So two stints with the Reds.
Kind of moved around. A little bit.
68 and 69 lifetime for...
Cup of coffee in a lot of different places.
ERA of 4, 701 K, 70 saves.
How long is a cup of coffee? Three game set.
It could be a week. Game, I'd say two weeks. In the major leagues, I'd say two weeks. Last time I'll be a parent
of coffee.
In Seattle in 93.
That's my go-to saying when I talk about my play-by-play career in the NFL.
Oh, cup of coffee?
Had a cup of coffee, did a few games, moved on. All right.
He's now the bullpen coach for the Reds.
Speaking of the NFL, when we come back, but after the rundown, Derek Carr may have upset John Gruden in a personal matter.
I also have an AB update that just came down.
All right, we'll do all that. Time for a SportsCenter rundown. Here's Chris.
NBA playoff action continues tonight from the bubble. 99.3 ESPN is going to start our coverage at 6 o'clock. We will have game one of the Eastern Conference Finals. Heat Celtics, that's followed at 9 o'clock, not on these airwaves, but on your television airwaves, or digitally or satellite, however you get your TV. Game 7, Clips, Nugs, short for Nuggets. Ahead of this week's U.S. Open, Tiger Woods says Wingfoot is, quote, right up there with Oakmont in terms of difficulty. Tiger's going to tee off Thursday, 8.07 a.m. with PGA Championship winner Colin Morikawa and Justin Thomas.
Mm. Okay, very good. So the NFL, what is our favorite audible call?
Omaha!
What's our second favorite one?
Waggle!
Well, we do Utah as well. Well,
Utah.
Okay, whatever.
Sheeman!
By the way, Daniel Jones called Omaha last night. I don't know if anybody picked up on that.
Yeah.
I got a smile.
Well, here's the thing. You can hear everything now with the new NFL and no fans. And apparently John Gruden didn't know what words Derek Carr had been using for his audibles because he can't hear them. Well, he can hear them now. He can hear his quarterback. Apparently, one of his audibles is John's wife. Cindy Gruden means something, apparently. he also threw out a Tiger Woods at one point. But yeah, John Gruden was asked about it. He says, yeah, I'm going to have to look into this. I'm not too pumped about him using my wife as an audible, which was a handoff to the right side, by the way.
Well,
I don't know what that means.
If he yelled out three sets of audibles, we don't know if his wife's name...
Well,
was the actual player or was it a decoy?
Yeah, we don't. But John's going to get to the bottom of it, and he's not real happy, and I think he thinks Derek Carr will not use it anymore. Yeah, Derek Carr, he's a prankster. We learned that on Hard Knocks.
Well, remember, even last year, Jared Goff used Halle Berry as an audible.
Oh, yeah.
And Halle Berry picked up on it. Yeah, she was cool with it.
Yeah, I'd be cool with it if somebody said Sheeman.
Sheeman, Sheeman,
Sheeman, Sheeman, and then throws a touchdown. Would that be?
That would only mean a dropped pass in the end zone.
I don't know why I have to be negative. I'm living my own dream.
5 yard play to the Georgia player. Whoever went to Georgia on the field, 5 yards to
DeAndre
you.
DeAndre Swift dropped the ball at the goal line. That's the Sheeman audible. By the way, John Gruden might want to take the stairs. Mix a salad in.
Oh,
this.
Come on. What, you do P90X for 6 months and now you're starting to throw shots at everybody?
John's getting a little round. John used to be in shape.
He's a football coach. Of course he's getting round.
I mean, he looks like John Madden.
Somebody was criticizing his hair. Now we just
it's thinning.
No, what had happened is he got all sweaty, took the visor off, and then it was thin, and it was all chunks of baldness everywhere.
Yeah, it's getting thin.
In addition to being hefty. But he's got 100 mil in the bank, so
I'm sure
Cindy's overlooking that right
just
now.
Just a quick note about that. Everybody heard about the Maria Taylor incident last night. A report.
Well, I don't know that everybody did.
Well, there's a talk show host out of Chicago who's been there a long time who made some comment about Maria Taylor. Was she doing a football game, or he made some sort of derogatory comment about what she was wearing? Okay. A big deal was made of it. I understand it. Nobody wants to see women objectified, and I get all of that stuff. The guy was fired today. The talk show host was fired today. All I can say is I have been called every curse in the book about how I've looked over the years, and so have a lot of my friends that are male. And I'm telling you, there's some of the most disgusting things that have been said, not really mostly, but some of my friends. And once again, I mean, that kind of stuff, somebody's commenting on how you look, you got to take that with a grain of salt. And unless it's something really, really, really over the top personal, I think you got to leave that stuff alone, because otherwise every man in America who is a broadcaster could throw a fit. Look at the texts that come in over male broadcasters and just coaches right now. If you just talk that way about John Gruden, about a female coach in the WNBA, you would be fired, Craig Sheeman.
Yeah.
Then I retract my statement about
John
Gruden.
No, don't retract it. You're absolutely right.
Well, but I will say, if you're a big-time host in Chicago – you've got your platform. You don't need to go on Twitter you're going to say something in the heat of a moment, not even in the heat of just what you think to be an innocent comment.
Yeah.
So I don't want to say you need to learn, but it's like,
well, he should know better. He's a veteran.
You've got to know better. That's it. It's just like, come on. It's a poor judgment on his part.
All I'm saying is, if somebody had said something like, "Hey, Tessitore, you look like an out of work porn star," nothing would have happened. If he had said that on the air about Tessitore, nothing would have happened. And he didn't say anything like that. He said that she should be hosting an adult video show. All right. Is it out of line? Yeah, it's out of line. So are 999,000 other things that I have seen derogatory comments towards men, and nothing is ever said about it. Nothing. Doesn't make two wrongs, don't make a right. I get it. But I'm telling you, you want to see people rip people? Go look at some of the comments that our male counterparts receive during TV and radio broadcasts. They're disgusting, a lot of them on the whole, on how somebody looks, dresses, maybe a little overweight, maybe older. It's a double standard. I like to examine all sides of this stuff. He lost his job today of that. He should know better. Should he have lost his job? I don't know if he should have lost his job. Maybe a suspension, maybe. But you want to start playing that game, then we can start going about what every single male broadcaster has to endure. Go look into some of their Twitter accounts and see the messages that are thrown out there. See if you have the same reaction.
Again, I retract my statement about John Gruden.
I don't. Not only do I not retract it,
you double down on it.
I totally double down on it. It's another reason why he'll be fired before Hugh Freeze.
All I'll say about that is it's 2020. You got to know better.
Yeah,
you've just got to know that there is, and I'm not complaining about it. I'm just saying, the way that you position that, Pete, you're right. There is a, I'm using air quotes, double standard, but that's just the way it is right now. So you've got to understand that if you do that and it gets picked up by every ESPN personality, you're probably going to lose your job over it. Mm. And it's just that simple.
Yeah.
Yep. The stadium is reporting the Big Ten will play 8 games in 9 weeks. Week 1 will either be October 16th or 17th or October 23rd, 24th. Big Ten title game December 19th. Selection Sunday is December 20th. All but official, waiting announcement from Big Ten tonight. And then somebody else just tweeted, David Hookstead just tweeted out, covers Wisconsin. The Big Ten has held the vote to bring football back, and it passes with ease, according to multiple reports. It's a done deal. Big Ten football is back. Today is a great day to be an American. Okay.
All right. I'm all for it. I hope they don't push it to the 23rd or whatever. Let's get it on, man. Let's do it. Let's do it on the 17th, mid-October. Let's go. Let's not make it too tight of a window to thread the needle here. Let's just get it going. All these teams have been practicing. I'm ready to go.
Well, you know, Craig.
What do I know?
I don't know. They'll come up with something. Inconclusive data on myocarditis. We won't know on the 17th, but by the 24th, we should have a pretty good idea of what this thing's all about.
So you still, you still think there's a possibility to come out and say, no, we can't do it?
I think these presidents are some of the most powerful people in the country.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially in the Big Ten. They absolutely
are. And the only reason they're going back on this is because they are forced to do it. I think that if they can get a small win by pushing it back to the 24th or the 25th instead of the 17th, they'll do it. Yeah. They'll do it.
How's that a win?
I know, because it says that they're right, or at least they think that they're right. Again, these are people who are not told what to do. These are people who make rules and they implement them, and they're not told to live by any. And they bleeped up on this, and the backlash they didn't think would be as big. They thought, oh, the other conferences will follow us, like the Pac-12 are going to follow us, and their egos are hurt right now.
Yeah,
that's what I think. This is 100% an ego thing for those 14 presidents, or at least the six presidents that voted no.
Yeah. Anyway, and I'll just ask this last thing. A Spanish Mel, Pete, would you like someone to tell your daughter that she looks like with a P starting or something like that? Come on, bro. Okay, and I will throw this. Of course not. And I said the same thing. Would you like your son to be compared to whatever else, some equivalent of that? I'm saying, would you feel the same way if your son was called a name like that? Or would you feel differently? And look, I'm old school. Of course I'm going to feel differently. Daughters are different than sons. It's always going to be their way. I agree. The man should have been punished. I don't know if he should have been fired. Somebody brought up a fact. Look at the Andy Reid memes over the years. Give me a break. Nobody gets fired for those. He's been called fat and disgusting and a whole lot of other things all over the place. Nobody says boo.
But I will. The Maria Taylor thing, it was the ad. It wasn't just her appearance.
Well,
it was the suggestion that she.
It's the difference of when a Twitter troll does something, it's a Twitter troll.
Yeah,
he's got whatever job or she's got whatever job, and it's not going to affect that business. When you're a radio host, that's now affecting the bottom line. If you've got a bunch of businesses calling up saying, "I'm pulling my advertising,"
well, of course,
if you do not do something about this guy,
well, that, and that's just
and
it.
Maybe the station was in a position where they were forced. They had to do it. They had to make this call because they were going to have so many dollars go out the window in advertising.
Yeah, and a lot of times, I'm not saying in that case, well, in management, most of the time will not back up the host or give him a suspension. They're going to.
What happened in Kansas City? There was a Kansas City host that just got fired. What was that? Was that about Tyreek Hill? I'm trying to remember what that was about. But that guy had an ownership stake in the radio station and still got canned over it. And I'm trying to remember what the details on it were.
Yeah, that was that 2 years ago or 1 year ago?
Feels like a year ago, and I'm trying to remember the details around it. I'm sure somebody will text it in. But yeah, there's a difference between when you've got that blue check mark by your name or when you say an on-air host or studio or whatever. It's a different standard. It's not a guy-girl standard. It's a different standard. I think a lot of females on Twitter can make comment that that people like Maria Taylor probably can't make.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. That when you're in the public eye, you're held to a higher standard.
No, I understand all of that. I'm just saying, give the guy a major reprimand. I don't know if someone deserved to be fired, but all I'm saying is I think you can make the case at times. And I love Maria Taylor. She's intelligent. Obviously, she's beautiful, but she knows her stuff. I think she did great on Monday Night Football. Has nothing to do with her professionalism at all. She's been fantastic, and I hate the fact that she's leaving ESPN. Right? And she's leaving.
No.
Well, who's the one that's leaving?
No, Carrie Champion left.
Oh, Carrie
left.
She's on TNT now.
Sorry. Yeah, Carrie Champion.
She left a long time ago.
And she does a great job, too.
Maria Taylor set up long term. Did you just Ving Rhames?
You just Ving Rhames.
You Ving Rhames.
No, I know because she was there. Carrie was
just Craig Sheeman.
She only left a little while ago. Carrie was there up until like 5 weeks ago before.
Oh, Carrie's been gone since the spring.
She has.
She's been gone a while.
Well, that's all right.
Ten weeks. She hasn't been there for any COVID stuff.
No.
She hasn't.
That's 6 months.
And she's actually surfaced on TNT basketball.
She has. But it's like Trey Wingo. Technically, he was still employed with ESPN, but you never saw him. And now only last week was he officially, quote unquote, gone when we all knew he was gone.
NFL Network is where he's going, right?
Looks that way.
I haven't heard anything official on where
he's going. I saw that he's going to the NFL
Network.
It's
a good spot for him.
It's a great spot for him. Host a studio show. Host the draft.
Yeah, in fact, who was the other ESPN host that's been?
Rich Eisen.
Rich Eisen, better watch out.
Well, he made a career out of it.
Well, yeah, Eisen started the network. He left ESPN to start the NFL Network, and boom, kudos to him. Been there since day one.
All right, meanwhile, the AB stuff, moving on.
Yeah, yeah.
So, this is 15 minutes ago. A Florida judge today ordered Antonio Brown to turn over within 15 days text messages and other evidence requested by attorneys for the woman who has accused him of rape and sexual assault in an ongoing civil case. The judge also denied without prejudice a request to order a psychiatric evaluation for Brown. He's suspended for the first 8 games of the season over the 2 unrelated incidents. The league has kept the door open for additional discipline if new evidence emerges. That's according to Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network.
Hmm. Good old AB. Let's see. 1 year ago, when did AB join your Patriots? Was it week? It wasn't week 2, was it? It was
yes,
early.
It was. It was week 2.
So he 1 year ago.
He didn't
today,
play week 1 against the Steelers, and then he caught a touchdown pass against the Dolphins, and he was cut by Wednesday the following week.
What was going on this time last year?
Brady's first 5 passes, I think, were to him.
I blocked that game out, 43 spit. I don't need to go back on that one. You know, because basically that entire Patriots team is gone.
You seem to have photographic memory of the week 17 game.
Amazing.
Oh.
That game was worse to me than the year before, the fumble game.
The Miracle in Miami?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Last year's game was worse.
Really?
Yeah. Because that was
you had home field?
No, yeah. The home field, number one.
The first round bye.
The way they played the whole game was just sloppy. And, you know, the other game was kind of a half a fluke. But what happened last year was unacceptable.
He didn't play 2 games, right? It was just one game. It was one game.
Caught a touchdown pass.
Yeah.
One game. Caught a touchdown pass, and
it was.
Then all hell broke loose.
You know what I think? I think it was Saturday the following week is when everything blew up. Day before another game. I remember being at my grandparents' house.
I was at home.
I'm only there on a weekend.
Was it a Friday? No, it wasn't a Friday.
Friday or Saturday. It was going into a weekend.
It was a Saturday. I remember I was going to Publix. I remember it now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I had said on the air on Friday, Stone Cold Luck. I bet AB's a Patriot before like next week, and it happened that weekend.
Yeah, and I didn't want to agree with you because I didn't want him there, but it was it happened like that night. It happened like on Friday. We were off the air Friday. It happened very quickly.
Yeah.
Once we got home. Le'Veon Bell's going on IR.
With a bad hammy. Lots of bad hammies out there.
3 weeks. At least 3 weeks he'll be out.
Not totally unexpected.
The entire Detroit Lions have bad hammies.
And again,
it's more prevalent than COVID.
Craig, 3 corners.
I know.
3 cornerbacks have bad hamstrings.
And a wide receiver, Galladay.
Well, I know Galladay. I'm just saying 3 in one position.
I know. We're a little thin. We're facing Aaron Rodgers.
That's
this week.
Mitch looks so good.
Yeah, it could be. And we put another guy on IR today, and we got Aaron Rodgers Sunday. Good luck with that. Is that on our board?
No, I didn't put that on the board.
Chris,
there's no need to put that game on the board.
That was mighty nice of you.
Cougar Hunter, I remember watching the Miracle in Miami live. That was fun.
You were there?
I was with a bunch of players. A bunch of people, not players, at an establishment. And my friend Brian's almost choked on his nacho. Just couldn't believe it. I seriously started laughing.
It's the happiest I've been after any football game.
Oh, we have video of you.
Yeah. Oh, I remember.
No.
What was that?
Oh, yeah, we do. Yeah, you did.
Yeah, we did.
You almost spiked your kid.
That's right.
You're running around the house like a madman.
Bleep the Patriots is what I was screaming.
Except that you weren't saying bleep in front of your tiny children.
No, child. I only had one at the time.
Then they went on to the Super Bowl.
Was that?
Yeah, my youngest is about to turn 2. So he was he just born? Yeah, he was just born.
Yeah, he was already born.
Yeah, he was just born.
It was his first word.
Yeah, it was his just
bleep you, just Dad.
Born. Just right? born. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, what a great game that was. Sitting on my back porch, I'm drinking beer, just going, you've got to be kidding me that this has happened.
And then they won the Super Bowl a few weeks later.
Yeah, nobody remembers that.
Let me ask you guys something about that. So we've all got our favorite teams. We all have our ups and downs. Is the worst part of it knowing that, you know, our team loses or wins or whatever? Or is it the fact that you got to come in here whether it's us at the radio station or you got to go to work and face your friends. It's the ribbing from the friends that your body is bracing yourself from. Like, I knew I was going to take heat about the Lions this weekend. I think that's the worst part than the actual moment it happened. Because now I got to go, you know, explain myself or whatever the case is.
Yeah, that's a part. So the part that I'm doing this job, when the Dolphins used to lose at one, like before I was in sports, I could just turn it off if I wanted to. If it really got me upset, I could turn it off and I could just shut the sports world out.
Yeah.
I can't do that doing this, so I have to listen to it. So when the Dolphins, if they ever get in a big game and they lose it, that would be very frustrating to me.
But it's worse because in this case it's against Pete's team. Right? That, you know, you got to deal with silly Pete and stupid Patriots. Well,
your Lions beat the Patriots, too, again. They went on to win the Super Bowl.
Did you dread coming in the next day and dealing with my crap?
No, because nothing. The worst on air, I told you, 86 when I collapsed in my dad's arms, but that was bad. I think, from a professional standpoint, since I've been in radio since 87, 88, the worst feeling ever was coming back on the plane at 6 o'clock in the morning from LaGuardia back to Boston, knowing I had to do a 2-6 show that day. After Aaron Boone hit the home run off Tim Wakefield in 2003 in Yankee Stadium. Mm-hmm. The place was, it was like a, you know, and we had four big stations like over here, and it was like a morgue. And nobody wanted to go on the air, and I think it was a Friday too.
Yeah.
When we came, I think it was a Friday, and nobody wanted, I had no desire to, because all it was Grady Little's this and Grady Little that.
Leaving Pedro in the game in the eighth.
Oh, yeah. All justifiable. All justifiable. But it's just like, you just dread it.
But, Pete, the Marlins won the World Series that year.
They did. I bet. Yeah. Josh Beckett. That was a good thing, beating the Yankees.
Mike Lowell, Josh Beckett, all the future awesome. Boston Red Sox players.
Yep. Came to fruition in 2004, 2007.
239 says, been a Bengals fan my whole life. I know all about the next day. Yeah, I mean, the next day is tough.
Doing this for a living, I like to know why the loss happened. If I can understand why the loss happened, then it makes it easier to digest for me.
Well, I don't know, Chris, because, look, we're all football. I know why the Lions lost the game. I saw it coming in slow motion for about 20 minutes.
No, I'm talking X's and O's.
I don't need anybody else explaining to me, you know, what happened. I got it. I saw it. We all know what happened, right?
Yeah, but it's...
But it's amazing, though. Would you feel, you know, well, your feelings would change had Swift caught that ball. Despite the comeback and despite like it should never have happened, it changes the entire perspective of the game if DeAndre Swift catches that ball. It's not Bob Quinn's fault DeAndre Swift didn't catch the ball.
Not Matt Patricia's fault.
It's not Patricia's fault they didn't catch the ball.
Well, they did draft him.
Now, you could talk about the plays leading up to that, but in the end, a W is a W, and you would have got and should have gotten the win. Instead, your rookie running back dropped a pass in the end zone.
Let me tell you what would have happened with obnoxious Craig radio host had he caught that pass.
Oh, gosh.
Georgia would probably gotten off the couch and no longer been in my doghouse. It's only Tuesday, probably would have mentioned 20 to 25 times by now that the Lions are going to the Super Bowl. I've been running my mouth
for a
like
3-point win over the Bears.
Yeah. 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 I would have been running my mouth. Totally different Craig, totally different outcome. Just being honest.
Well, the whole culture and the whole Detroit Lion fan base changes as it would
overnight,
as it would for every other team.
Yes.
And I guess that's the difference. Since I've started doing this, I've never had the Dolphins with actual expectations. Mm. Never had to do that. So it's always like the fun, I'll talk a lot of smack on Friday, but if they lose, I can ultimately come in here and go, yeah, we were supposed to lose. The Patriots were a 7-point favorite. Of course we lost.
Yeah. We got Snooty Pooch says, I'm a Cowboys fan. I've been disappointed in it my whole life. I'm 31 years old. Literally disappointment after disappointment. Let down. After letdown, this is our year. This is our year. It seems weird for me and probably Pete too to see a Cowboy fan say they've known nothing but disappointment. I've known nothing but the Cowboys hoisting the Lombardi Trophy in two different eras multiple times, even though it's been a long time.
25 years.
But to say I've never seen the Cowboys do anything good is foreign to me because I'm older.
I mean, in the 70s, they won it several times. And if it wasn't for people got to remember the 78 Super Bowl, which I think was Super Bowl 12 or Super Bowl 13. That was, at that point, considered the greatest Super Bowl ever played. That was a 35-31 victory by the Steelers, and it should have been Dallas. I did not. What's
they
his
dropped
name?
The football.
The California
zone.
Quake guy.
They pulled a DeAndre Swift.
Dropped dead. Oh, Charlie.
I can't remember.
God, McAvoy.
No.
I remember Lynn Swann making a great catch.
Like McAvoy.
Game, but yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But that was a. That's still one of my favorite Super Bowls, even though I was a huge Dallas fan.
Yeah, we were of the age where we were coming of age as football fans, and that was it, man.
Because that year, that's when the Patriots were in the playoffs against Earl Campbell and the Houston Oilers. But two days before the playoff game is when D-Bag quits. Head coach quits to go take Fairbanks, quits to go coach at Colorado. 2 days before the playoff game. Dan Pastorini comes in with a broken body like he always did.
Yeah.
And won the game.
Dan Pastorini. Those are fun teams. Those other teams are fun teams to watch.
Oh, had it not been for the Steelers, they would have been in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, they had some AFC championship games and divisional classic playoff games. I still remember Terry Bradshaw, the longest slide ever on AstroTurf, unintentionally. Yeah. He slid for a first down. Remember, it was pouring rain?
Yeah.
Three Rivers, and he slid like 20 yards on his tuchus all the way down.
Sure did.
All the way down.
You're big on TV, Pete. I've got an old TV show that's coming back. I'm going to drop on you.
No,
it's got a little sports twist to it. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, led by the 43-year-old, taking on the Carolina Panthers, led by a rookie head coach. Mm-hmm. Bucks and Panthers presented by Creel Tractor on Sunday. They start airtime at noon, kickoff at 1. Also brought to you by Signs in One Day at Fort Myers off Alico Road. Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
One of them thinks cooking is cool. The other thinks white tube socks are. This is Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. I am Craig Sheeman along with Pete Shepard. Chris on the other side of the glass. Real quick before we go to the phones, I saw that Matt Patricia was asked directly by the media after his game on Sunday, was something in your coaching that maybe is not happening in the fourth quarter for you to close out games? And Patricia got all indignant and said he was probably part of one of the biggest fourth quarter plays in the history with Malcolm Jenkins and the interception in the Super Bowl.
Malcolm Butler,
I'm sorry. Yeah. And the Detroit media is going off on him, saying, yeah, you had Brady, Belichick, and a culture players were buying into. You don't have any of that going on here in Detroit.
Wasn't he the DC for the 28-5 or 28-3, the Falcons Super Bowl? I thought he was the defensive coordinator for that as well.
Was that his last game?
His last game because he's been there. This is his third year, right?
Maybe.
It's the beginning of his third year.
I believe that goes back to him. So
remember there's pick six in that game too by Brady early.
Was there? I don't remember that.
The beginning of the end.
Yeah.
But at the beginning of the beginning.
Until they won it again.
That is kind of a dip, you know what. Question to ask.
Well, it's ballsy.
Is there something in your coaching that's leading to all these failures in the fourth quarter?
Because, again, if DeAndre Swift catches that ball, it's not ass.
Because what do you think? Like, he's going to say, oh, yeah, I knowingly don't do something at practice with the goal of blowing fourth quarter leads. I'm sorry. It's a ridiculous question
First of all,
to ask.
It was 17 points. It's a lot.
It's a ridiculous question to ask.
The media's turning on him. They turned on him last year. It's
fine.
It's over with the media.
I'm fine for Matt Patricia being a little snarky with the media member for asking that type of question.
Some guys
like
are just
that.
Meant to be coordinators. I'm not the first person to say this. He's one of them. He's just over his head as a head coach. I thought he was. I thought he might be from the get-go.
All right, let's go to the phones. 239-3370 ESPN. Kent in the Cape actually wants to talk some Lions football. Go ahead, Kent. How are you?
Kent.
Doing well today, guys. How are you doing?
Fantastic. Thank you for calling.
How are things on the Cape?
All right. Well, I spent 13 years up in Michigan. My mom had a stroke, so I had to leave here and go to this little town called Marshall.
Yeah.
And it was about 2 hours away from Detroit, so I used to go to the Lions game.
Yeah.
And me and my buddies would always, I can't say bet, but we would have little wagers on how the Lions were going to lose the game.
Yeah.
They would be in every game, and it was like just one play would turn the entire game around, whether it was interception or a fumble. And they had some really good teams back then, but they always found a way to lose. And it was just so funny to get there and have a good time at Ford Field and watch him play a great game. And somehow towards the end of the game, they would do something crazy and the game would just go away from them.
You know, Kent, I was thinking the other day, I was just walking around my garage just kind of pondering the game. And I thought, you know, if football was only three quarters, the Lions would have more banners than the Patriots right now. They would. They've blown more fourth-quarter leads in my lifetime than I can even fathom.
Oh, it was crazy, dude. And it just, I was always amazed at the fact, you know, I've been a Dolphins fan my whole life, and they've had their ups and downs. But, you know, Detroit has always had the same thing, and you're right. They play a great game, and when the chip hit the ground in the fourth quarter, somehow somebody makes a dumb move, and they lose the freaking game.
Yeah.
And is that coaching, though, or is it just a lack of concentration by that particular player? I mean, you can blame coaching all you want, and you know, there's techniques for a running back. Don't fumble. There's ways of showing somebody not to fumble. But, you know, I guess you cut them if they keep doing it. But, I mean, I can't blame coaching. There's got to be some blame on the players, more on the players, I think, over the years than some of the coaching. For the Lions, well, don't you think?
And the Lions are going to lose about 9 more games this year.
Matt Millen era aside, which was a disaster.
Well, and there will be other plays and other games that you could point to. You could point to them in every game.
Legal hands to the face.
If these three, yes. Yeah. And Matt Patricia is going to be the one
that will
lose his job.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
He
doesn't have his players focused. I don't know.
It's just interesting to me when you look at different franchises, particularly in the NFL, and you can take it to all sports. I'm aware there are examples in all sports. But, like, what leads to that internal feeling of just knowing that you're – like, what's the difference between a player when they go from Miami – to Pittsburgh, well, right? It's the same player. They're doing the same things, but something happens where it's like this internal feeling like, oh, I've got this jersey on. It's going to go my way. And but I don't know what it is. It's fascinating in sports.
Well, and Greeny brought it up today. He had a quote, Mike Reese, who covers the Patriots for ESPN. He came on and said, look, Belichick and McDaniels basically saying, we are not playing the same type of game this week in Seattle that we did against Miami. Not going to happen, and they know they can't keep doing that. Meaning, Cam running 15 times a game. And they understand it immediately, and they will change. And a lot of the runs that Cam did were on his own. I mean, they're RPO, so he has that option. He just sensed that at times Miami couldn't stop. But I would bet anything that Cam Newton does not rush 15 times on Sunday night.
Well, yeah, I agree with all that, but I think that's different than what Chris is
talking about. No, but it's still coaching, but that's coaching.
No,
To answer Chris's question,
it's a culture.
I think a player – well, it is the culture.
It is.
Because a player, if he screws up in New England or if he screws up in Tuscaloosa, he's either going to get cut or he's going to get benched. And I don't – it's a fearful respect.
But I don't know.
I think that's lacking with some other coaches. I don't think that team respects Matt Patricia.
Okay, but it's not like you have to be a hard ass to be a successful coach in the NFL. I mean, we've seen
Pete Carroll's another. He's not a hard ass.
Right. So it's not like there's a clear cut way to build a culture. But what builds that culture? What happens in Miami from basically the time that they come into the NFL in the early 70s when they get everything up and going? What happens from 70 to 2000 where year in and year out that team is a contender? Year in and it doesn't matter who's playing quarterback, injuries, what happens? They have figured it out. And then something happens, 13 retires, and the next 20 years it's flat out ineptitude.
Well, that's, you know, that a lot of it is bad drafting, general managers.
Maybe an Andy Reid or Pete Carroll, you love the guy so much and will go through a brick wall, you would just be so devastated to let that guy down. It comes back to respect. Whether you love the guy or whether you're afraid of the guy, it comes to respect. And I don't think anybody's running through any walls in Detroit for Matt Patricia. So the intensity level's not there all week.
So how does Pittsburgh do it for 50 years? Right? Over the course of three coaches.
The team's respect.
Three coaches.
I think everybody was afraid of him. You go, Coughlin was a hard ass. He had his act together, and not Coughlin, Cowher.
Yeah.
And then Tomlin, look, I in retrospect, mm-hmm. I've given Tomlin a hell of a lot more credit because what I found out after the fact, what he put up with AB, and still I thought put a good team together every year. Despite his shenanigans in the locker room.
It's the same thing with what I grew up with. I mean, 76, the Patriots had an unbelievable team. They got screwed in Oakland. Okay. 78, yeah, the coach quits on him. Fairbanks quits before the playoff game. Then I got to wait till 80. Now, Ray Berry was a good coach. Gets there. Ron Meyer was not. Ron Meyer was okay, except for the snowball game, Chris. Other than that, but that's the only thing anybody remembers Ron Meyer coaching the Patriots about, is he ordered the furlough guy out to put a spot up for Tony Smith. For John Smith. After that, 85, Ray Berry, they get to the Super Bowl. They lose. They get humiliated by the Bears. They do come back in 86 and win the division. And then after that, nothing. And I mean crap, threats of moving for many, many years until Bill Parcells came on board. And it changed everything about that football team. If you want to point to one significant change that the Patriots made, if you're looking at a flow chart, by far, step one was first Robert Kraft buying the team, and two was hiring Bill Parcells. The day he hired that man changed everything from a Patriot perspective. Even though they didn't make the playoffs that year, the first year there, they won their last four games. They knocked Miami out of the playoffs at the end of the season. I remember that. But it just the season ticket hold went up by a ton. It changed everything because of what that man did with the Giants. Nobody ever thought he was coming out of broadcasting to coach again, and he did.
Well, I get what everybody's saying, and everybody texting in, I appreciate it. But so then explain to me how Bill Parcells is successful with the Jets, he's successful with the Giants, he's successful with the Patriots.
Yeah, even Dallas, he wanted to play, well, he got to a playoff.
But then go back to my fear factor of respect.
But then he goes to Dallas and Miami, and it's like, okay, it's good. It's good, but it's nowhere near what it was there. It's one of those weird things in sports where, yes, I know culture. You can say culture. What is culture, right? Well, is that ownership down? Is that GM down? Is that player accountability, which is what I think happens at a lot of places where it's, hey, we played with Tom Brady for all these years in New England. No, this is the standard here, and there's no coming up short. Versus in places like Tampa, it's like, ooh. We got Tom Brady. Let's see how high he can raise our games. Instead of people saying, let's raise our games to meet him, it's, hey, let's see how far he can pull us.
No, there's some of that. But you look at what Dallas, no, Parcells at Dallas. Who's his quarterback? Quincy Carter,
I
mean,
yeah.
I mean, it's.
He drafted Romo,
he made the playoffs, I believe, that one.
I thought Romo was undrafted. No.
Well, brought in, sorry.
Yeah. Brought in, and then with Miami, I even forget. That's amazing. I forget that he was with, but he was not.
He was GM or VP
a consultant or something. He wasn't. He didn't really.
And I guess that was, you know, talking it out, he was there and kind of put the nuts and bolts and the guts of the team together that Tony Sperano actually ended up taking to the playoffs in 2008.
Tony Sperano.
Yeah.
Careful.
Late great.
What?
He passed away.
Passed away. Late great.
Tony I wasn't going to make fun of him.
I'm just saying, just careful.
Not
I thought you were going to.
Coaches, but.
Tony Sperano?
Oh, yeah. He had some good moments.
Oh, bite your tongue, sir.
I think he had some good moments.
Bite your tongue. He coached Chad Pennington to AFC East title. How about that?
He did.
Okay, fine.
Talk bad about Tony Sperano.
I'll retract my second
last division winning coach from your Miami Dolphins.
This hour has been an entire retraction by me. Check it out on the podcast, 993ESPN.com, because you'll never hear some of these words uttered again.
Hey, Derek Jeter just put his house up for sale in Tampa.
I saw that.
$29 million. The broker said.
Is that the Tom Brady house?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, that's the one on the rear. I know exactly where that is.
Said it's the broker said it's definitely not a casual house, but it's very livable.
So what does Tom Brady got to do?
Move?
He just moved in.
Well, that's probably...
Now it's not another thing on his plate.
No.
Giselle, we got to move.
He probably already has. Who knows? I don't know if he's still living there.
Can you imagine becoming Tom Brady's new landlord?
He might have been there for camp.
Text him
on
the first of the month. Your rent is late.
Your rent is late. you got to be out in 30 days.
Do I have to contact your employer? Give me the number to the Glazers.
So I'll chip in.
That's
funny. Have a texter party there.
Yeah, Nighthawk. Sperano always wore shades because he had an eye condition.
He
had to wear shades inside.
It was not a fashion
He's an offensive line coach. He's not into the fashion part of it.
Right.
No.
Right.
great coach, Tony Sparano.
29
great.
Mil. What would that mortgage be? What, 29 mil? What would that be a month?
Hold on.
Top three in my lifetime.
You've had Don Shula.
Top three in my lifetime.
Jimmy Johnson.
Top three in my lifetime. I'll put him ahead of Wonstadt.
Wow. Wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right? Definitely ahead of Gase.
I like Wonstadt. Oh, well, yeah. Okay.
Philbin. Joe Philbin.
Yeah.
Anybody remember the Philbin era?
Yeah.
No. That was a disaster.
He's a Massachusetts guy, too. He is a nicest man on the planet. Well, you saw what he did at Green Bay. He called two timeouts in 30 seconds, remember?
I know. When it was sad, before he got hired for the Dolphins, they found that his son got lost out in the woods or something and died.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, it's horrible.
It's awful. By the way, Sean, the Giants fan who calls us all the time, Craig should do more retractions. Especially half your takes, and then he follows that up by especially your Julio Jones take.
Sean, you're so right. It's such a bad take. It's so off base.
Well, it's prejudice, not against. No, it's prejudice against statistics.
It's just wrong. Okay,
it's fantasy
yes.
football. It's prejudice.
Fantasy.
Nothing to do with color or race. It's about putting up games like he did yet and not scoring touchdowns. Having a fine
prejudice against stats.
Yes. Yes.
It's called wrong.
You're 157 yards and zero touchdowns.
Anti-statite.
He's allergic to the end zone.
Sperano was the coach for the Wildcat, yes. Wasn't he?
I think he was.
Ronnie,
I believe he was, yeah.
Day, yeah.
Sounds about right.
I believe he was.
Worked well that one day.
All right, time for Wikipedia. we've got lunch for you and a friend.
Worked
at
most of the season. Yeah, it worked. Okay. I mean, not to the extent that it did in Foxborough. I believe that was week two of the 08 season or whatever it was. But
caller number 9, going to play Wikipedia here. Big Ten trivia, since they may announce their comeback in football here tonight. So if you don't know anything about Big Ten football, don't call.
And again, once a team has been the answer to a question, they will not be the answer to another question.
Yeah.
Process of elimination.
Okay. So, caller number 9, we'll get lunch for you and a friend at Moe's Southwest Grill or dinner. 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. Let's play Wikipedia. Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
To stump the Shep, shooter shoot. And here's your shot. It's Wikipedia.
All right, here we go. We're going to do some Big Ten trivia today. Hopefully the Big Ten tonight announces they're coming back for some fall football. Caller number 9 is Bill in Lehigh. Bill, how are you?
I'm doing well, gentlemen. How are yourselves?
We are
very
good.
Well.
What is your favorite college football team, Bill?
Volunteers.
Okay.
All right.
Well, we're going to see how you do in Big Ten trivia. First one to 3 correct answers is a winner, and you get to go first. Bill, can you tell me what school dons the famous winged helmet and plays their home games in the largest stadium in the country?
That would be the University of Michigan.
That is correct. 1-0. Bill. All right, Pete Shepard, this question is for you. What school joined the Big Ten in 1990 and has had only 3 head coaches since 1966?
That would be Penn State.
Correct. Yeah. All right, we have a heated 1-1 tie. This is going swimmingly. All right, Bill, what Big Ten school is home to the only 2-time Heisman Trophy winner and has won?
See, I like that, Bill. Cut him off right away when you know it. I did that last week, and I got scolded.
2-1. Bill is in the lead.
Well, that was different. That was in Thirsty Nick's quiz you're – yeah.
All right. Sorry. It won't happen again.
Pete Shepard.
Let's put in timeout.
What Big Ten school plays jump around at the end of the fourth quarter?
Third quarter. My bad. Typo.
And had their last Heisman Trophy winner in 1999.
The jump around is in the Badger, Wisconsin.
Yes. Yeah. All right, we're heated here at a 2-2 tie. So, Bill, this is for the win, if you can get it. What Big Ten school is the only to have the color purple in their school colors and haven't won a Big Ten championship outright since 1995? Purple.
Northwestern.
That is correct! That is correct!
Nice job, Bill.
Bill with the shutout. Well, no, not
That's
the
a
shutout.
Shutout.
He didn't get any wrong.
Remember, he skunked me on the Kobe Bryant one, so I feel like I had to redeem myself.
You okay, did great. Yeah. You did fantastic, Bill. Appreciate it, man.
Good job.
And thank you, as always, for listening to the show.
Hey, thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Awesome.
All right. In fact, nobody got any wrong so far.
These are they get tougher.
Northwestern was probably the easiest one so far. No other team is purple in the Big Ten.
Well, they're when you're going if you're not big into Big Ten sports, maybe you're going through and you forget them.
Mm. What color is Minnesota? It's not purple, but it's not.
No. That's not even close to purple.
It's kind of a maroon.
It's a maroon.
That's close to purple.
Yeah, well,
but it's not.
It's more of a yellow. It's not called the Golden Gophers for nothing.
Well, that's true.
But it's yellow.
Yeah. What was the only Big Ten school to have won a Big Ten championship outside of Ohio State, Penn State, and Wisconsin since 2005? Got a little tougher, didn't they?
Got real all of a sudden, huh?
Yeah.
The only one talking that, so much.
I think was the only one I remember is.
Well, it'd only be one.
Yeah, because you said possible elimination, so I can't say the same school again. I'm going to say, I think it's Sparty, Michigan State.
That is correct.
Yeah.
What two schools have only won one Big Ten title outright?
One Big Ten title outright.
There are two schools that
two
have
schools
only
have
won,
it won once
one
ever
outright. They've tied for it a couple of other times, but.
Okay. All right, so I'm going through the teams we already talked about. One of them's probably Purdue.
Fact, 1929. It's been that long since they won it outright?
Outright, yeah.
Now, they went to the Rose Bowl in 2000, but they must have been like the next best team.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I'm not 100% sure about this, but I'm going to go on gut instinct here because I figured you put Purdue and Indiana in the same question. that's right. But I might have said them anyway. I couldn't say Northwestern.
1945.
Oh, my Lord.
How about that?
So Indiana went to the
what a year.
Indiana went to the Rose Bowl in, 68 or 69.
Went to a bowl game last year.
They tied. Yes.
So they haven't won it outright since World War II.
They went to a bowl game last year, too.
Yeah, I'm not interested in that conversation.
They did. What bowl game was that?
No, the fish is not biting.
Citrus
by Tampa.
No.
They played Bills Tennessee Volunteers, actually.
Yes.
Sons of.
Full circle.
Yeah. Fantastic.
And like the Lions, they had above 95% chance to win late in the fourth
above
quarter.
98. Name two of the three programs.
Name them all.
Name all three programs that have never won a football title in the Big Ten.
Rutgers. Maryland. This may change in the next couple of years when he's coach of the year.
Oh, geez.
Scott Frost in Nebraska.
I'm going to put him in our Hugh Freeze bet before long if he doesn't start winning. What Big Ten school has the third most conference title games of all time?
No, just titles. Conference titles of all time.
This is if it has the third most.
Here we go.
Why are we doing the third most?
Because I needed a question about this school. What Big Ten school has the third most conference titles of all time with their last coming in 1967? What's confusing about that?
Mr. Shepard?
I will say.
I mean, it was written properly, was it not?
I'm going for the teams we've already mentioned. I'm going to guess. I think we're going by that good team last year. Minnesota?
Yes. Okay.
Good job.
Yeah. Wow.
Good job.
I was lucky.
I was not lucky.
Final question. What Big Ten school won their last outright Big Ten title in 2001 and has had players like Dick Butkus,
typo.
Tony Eason.
Oh, please.
Juice Williams.
They should have never
and
drafted
Jeff George.
Should have taken Dan Marino, stupid Illinois. Please.
Wow, did we get any wrong here today?
No, they were all right. Good job.
Oh, the Big Ten dominates.
Maybe I shouldn't do that process
of
elimination.
If you left Tony
anymore.
Eason out, I might not have gotten it.
Really? Was that the one?
Yeah.
I was between him and Jeff George, who to put in.
Yeah. Jeff George I would have got to.
So, okay. Yeah. So it wouldn't have mattered.
Well, if you left the quarterbacks out, I would have.
Where did Jeff George start his career? He didn't start at Illinois.
Indiana?
Indiana.
No.
I don't know.
Purdue.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Did not know that.
Quarterback you.
It was Purdue, got hurt. Mommy came down on the field.
Could fire the ball.
Mom came down on the field.
He had a huge arm.
He had to leave. Oh, yeah. One of the most talented arms I've ever seen.
Yep.
No question about it. Wow, it's 5 o'clock.
Played for the Vikings that I remember.
We played for the Raiders.
Played for the Raiders that
came
I remember.
Came back home and played for the Colts for a smidge.
Yep. Did he?
Yeah.
What, behind Peyton? Or was that before Peyton?
Well, before Peyton. Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. He was in my class. He graduated high school in 86. And then
you went to school with him?
Well, he was at Warren Central when I was at Carmel. We were rivals.
Oh, Warren Central. Mm. Oh, we didn't do our Indiana high school football update.
Oh.
Oh. Oh,
from some random, okay, we could do that.
Well, I don't really want to. I'd rather preview game one ECF.
Got some interesting, couple of interesting college football notes when we come back on the other side.
Better make it quick. We're late.
No, I said when we come back on the other side.
Hot takes by me, 5 o'clock hour.
Not
it's all
must.
In the mixed bag. Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' on You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.